Well, the Siberian Express hit while we were in class. I understand. I may just stay over here all day. Two things. Deacons need to meet. And secondly, and this is serious, would you please pull onto this parking lot at a reasonable speed? I mean, there are people out here and barreling through here. You're not that cool, really. If you want to run over speed bumps at high speed, we'll get you a place to go. Tear up your car. Some of these dummies do it too when the school people come in. Because I sit in my den in there and I see all these people come get their kids. Bam! Through there. And the cars are just going like that. That's not, you know, your kids are going to wait. They're going to be fine. So please, this is a request. It's an order from the authority of this church. Me, and I'm speaking on behalf of the deacons too. Please, come in here easy and leave easy. Even if you're mad. You hate my guts and everything else. That don't speed out of here or in here. Thank you. Okay. Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The term citizenship, more expanded, means place of citizenship, which you would expect. And we get the word politics, polituma is the Greek noun, only occurring here. Cognate words occur elsewhere, but this particular word for citizenship is only found here in the Greek New Testament. It is described as in heaven. Preposition with the word locative noun uranos. From which is the preposition ek, out from. From which, that means out from, which is the relative pronoun. Now, the word is important here. I got ahead of myself. Isn't your simple "I'me" to be a verb. It's present active indicative huperco. It means for something to exist. It means for something to be at one's disposal, like possessions. So Paul uses a different verb here. And he says it is currently in heaven because it's a present indicative. It keeps on being in heaven. So our citizenship is in heaven. From which place, now we can go to that, from which also is added, in addition to having citizenship there, also adds another, from which also we eagerly wait. All right. Op ek dekomai, present indicative. It means to, all of us have experienced this at some point in our lives, to wait expectantly for something that we know is coming in our favor and something we are keenly anticipating having been brought to us. So eagerly wait expectantly, eagerly wait for a Savior. Soter is the general word Savior of any kind, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior. It doesn't say we wait for the Savior. I just wanted to point that out. There is no definite article. He keeps it We wait for a Savior. People all over the world at various times are looking for a Savior. We got these crazy sci-fi movies. Somebody's gonna come save. There are people looking for a Savior from outer space. They're hoping someone will come and save the world from its stupidity. I mean, so the Antichrist will be hailed as a Savior to save the world from this destruction. So we wait for a Savior. And then he identifies him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we wait for a Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who, of course, antecedent, referring to his person, is the pronoun, hos, who, will transform. This is a future tense. See, we shift to a future active indicative. Indicative is reality. He will do it. The action of the verb is executed by this Savior. Meta schematizo. We have schematic in that, don't we? You can see that. You can see the origin of some of our words. Schematic. It's inherent here. Meta. So means with. Transform. It can even be used in a sense. It's used a different ways, that particular word. It's used as a disguise. Someone operating incognito under a disguise. But obviously it's not the way it is used here. So transform. The object of the verb transform is with a definite article. The body, soma, the outer person. The body of our humble state. We have a definite article, gender, feminine, singular noun, tapinosis. Means word can mean, the noun can mean humiliation. Here it's translated humble state. Okay, it's going to be transformed. The body's going to be transformed. What's the most we can, almost the most we can figure out about this? Our, we have the pronoun our. Into conformity. This is an adjective, accusative, neuter, singular. Sumorphos. We get morphology. With sumorphos. Having the same form is the literal word. Conformity is a good translation. Although there is no preposition into. It's just our humble state. Conformity, also found in the same exact parallel doctrinal idea in Romans, which we'll look up reference later, Romans 8:20. With what? Into conformity with what? He doesn't leave us hanging. With the body of his glory. Again, a very straightforward verse that tells us that our resurrection body is going to match his. In every particular. That doesn't mean we'll all look like him and we'll all be a male. It means that our body, just as we all have the same humanity, we have different skin types, different genders, different all that, those differences. It's still, a body made up of the individual parts. It matches everybody else. It could be only that way. So it's the body, definite article, soma for the second time, the body of his, pronoun, his, glory, doxa. So there you have it. If you needed another verse in your arsenal, that you're going to get a resurrection body just like Christ. It's going to match up. Now, we can run amok in our heads trying to figure out all the possibilities here, but it's kind of nice that a lot of it's a secret, that when you get it, you'll know it, and you'll appreciate it then. And then how's this going to happen? by the exertion of the power. Exertion of the power. It's preposition kata, according to, translated by, according to the exertion. We have our word energy. Definite article, accusative feminine singular noun, and ergia. This means working or activity. By the exertion of the power, the word power is actually an infinitive, a present infinitive, means dunamai, means to be able to do something. Somebody is able to do something. By the exertion, according to the exertion of the power, that will work. According to the exertion to be able, but it's awkward to try to render it that way, so that he has, to the power that he has, to the exertion of the power that he has, excuse me, that he has is dunamai, and it's infinitive, and that's the exertion that he has, even adjective kai. We have another kai, but here we have, you could translate it also, but even to subject, aorist infinitive hupo tasso means subject, be under the authority of. That he has even to subject all things, pas, with the definite article, the all things, to himself, dative pronoun, autos. Now, there's a lot said here. It's pretty phenomenal. And we are all, as believers in Jesus Christ, the beneficiaries of this. This, without exception. Paul is announcing this to the Philippian church, and therefore it applies to all believers everywhere in this dispensation. And the neat stuff comes out of this. He's coming to get us. He's leaving his place he's been, and he is making a trip to get us. More information on that is given elsewhere. We went over verses on this. One, the mention of ultimate citizenship at this point stands over against earthly things. Earthly things of verse 19, where we have, it is in the list of things that descriptive of those who have abandoned Bible doctrine to pursue earthly things. That's the focus of their life. They may talk God, you know, but they're pursuing earthly things. People who step outside the restrictions imposed upon us by the Word of God to be in the will of God and to get the kind of blessings that we're looking for, not the quick fix stuff, not the, I can do this so it must be okay, and rationalize it, where we are, see, righteousness confines you to certain act, obviously. We can't just do any old thing we want and expect to be okay as believers. In fact, it's straight and it's narrow, and it's not just some broad road we can all run amok on it. This is what's taught out there in Christendom. Oh, you're okay. That's fine. Do that. Now you make a celebrity out of you. You're successful. Get you up before the congregation. But, you know, because this person was successful and did this. Yes, but we're confined to running a race, to use the metaphor. We're running a race and there are rules, and if we abide by those rules, it does not allow us to willy-nilly pursue earthly things. If gaining earthly things does not violate and undermine your spiritual life, that's fine. Now, yes, believers make mistakes, but the good ones pull themselves back in line with the will of God, take their lumps, called divine discipline, take their lumps and move forward. But those who are, it's one of the characteristics of the cosmos, that you become the captain of your own destiny, what you want to do, where you want to live, where you want to, et cetera, with no consideration of what you know is important. And all of you will face that. And some of you already have, you've made up your mind, and this is it. And you're not going, and hopefully you're not going to fly the coop, you know, to get away from pressure, change environment, change this. But some haven't had that test yet, really, but you will. And when you tube it, you'll tube it. And it'll be, I wanted to do this, and I got this chance, and blah, 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 and here we are. So there it is. You pursued earthly things. The things you pursued may be perfectly legitimate in and of themselves. There's nothing criminal about them or immoral, but you pursued it your way. You set it up. Okay, fine. You picked where you wanted to live. You picked this. You did this. It's never sanctified by prayer and the Word of God. Well, I'm going to do this if God's in it. I'm looking to go in this direction, this career choice, but I got to be sure God's in it. I mean, you've heard this a million times. I'm praying about it. If I'm not supposed to go there, I want it shut down. I don't want anything that is a detriment to my spiritual life. Like I said, believers can make mistakes, get off track, come under divine discipline, and pop back in. That's a part of the plan. That's part of the rules. That grace isn't built in for failure and recovery from simple rebound, simple sinning on up to more extreme things. So the noun citizenship only occurs here in the New Testament. Compare the noun polis, P-O-L-I-S, city, the Greek noun. And another one translated citizenship in Acts 22:28, politeion. It's very close to this one. And he's talking about earthly citizenship. And then in that passage, Paul's pointing out that he was born a citizen of the Roman Empire. He didn't go out and purchase citizenship. He's not an outsider that came in. He was born a Roman citizen. Well, that's a step up. Fellow citizen occurs in Ephesians 2:19. So then you, Gentiles. He's addressing specifically the Gentile Christian contingent at Ephesus, which was largely a Gentile church, a smattering of Jews. So then you, Gentiles, are no longer strangers and aliens, e.g., to the Commonwealth of Israel. You're not on the outside looking in. You're not in Old Testament times where Israel is the primo nation among the nations, and you are aliens to that. You're of some other country and so forth. But you are fellow citizens, sum politai, with the saints. You're fellow citizens. You're on an equal footing now. You're in a new dispensation. We just shifted gears. And you are in a new dispensation, and you are on an equal footing with the saints at the highest level that they can ever be. In fact, higher in this dispensation, as it turns out. But you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Of God's household, compare citizen, politeis, in Acts 21:30, 22:28, and Hebrews 8:11. So the term here carries with it the sense of place of citizenship, which Paul says is in heaven. Okay, first fact, it's in heaven. If you travel to a foreign land and you were asked where your citizenship resides, you'd say in the United States. I'm a citizen, a full-fledged citizen of the United States of America. And I'm in Argentina right now, let's say. You're in Argentina and you are an American citizen. Okay? That's what it means. You're not there, but you have citizenship rights while you're in a foreign land. That's the notion here. Your citizenship is in heaven. You, In the meantime, speaking to these Christians, and obviously all the rest of us, we're here, we're not in the place of our citizenship. We're out of country. Our country's up country. That's where that's our ultimate citizenship and country. You're going there no matter what, one way or another, kicking and screaming, happy as a clam. You're going. Your citizenship is in heaven. And if it is in heaven, at least at some point in your life, you need to have visited the place. See? Well, what's the point? I got my citizenship in the United States, but I've never been there. What? Well, I applied and got citizenship, but I've never been there. Well, then you're never a citizen of that country. I mean, you're never actively a part of it. You are a citizen of that country, excuse me. But you're not actively involved in its environment, its customs, its ways, all surrounded the other people that make it up. So he says it's in heaven. The birthright to this citizenship is based on the salvation adjustment and the related doctrine of union with Christ. We share his destiny. We share everything he is because we're in him. And if you use the church as the body of Christ, that metaphor is clear. Where the head goes, the body goes. Husband, wife, groom, bride. These marriages where, I live on one side of the country and live on the other. Well, that's not healthy, to say the least. It's kind of almost a joke. Now, people may be separated for a while due to military service or other things. We understand that. But the idea is, people need to be together a reasonable amount of time. Of course, reasonable will vary from one person to another. So it's based on the salvation adjustment and also the idea of the baptism of the Holy Spirit or union with Christ. I have a birthright. I was born in the United States. So I have, by the very fact of my physical birth, a birthright. I didn't have to apply to be a citizen. I didn't have to go through any rigmarole. I didn't have to take any tests. It used to be but people had to take tests. You came to this country, you had to be vetted. Wouldn't that make sense? If I'm a country and I have a country that way, the United States is stupid as hell now. I just send all my prisoners over there. All my criminals. This will save us a bunch of money. We'll just send all the criminals over there. Well, if you have a system, a screening system, these refugees of all kinds and all dispositions, they're just flooding Europe. Getting on welfare. Trash everywhere, raping people, stealing. Germany's about as bad as it gets. I heard that Greece is going to put a stop to it. I know who's going to put a stop to it. The Antichrist. Because it's chaos. You can't run a country with chaos. You can't have open borders in the name of love. I mean, just anything goes. Oops, sorry about that. Another illegal without a driver's license. Run someone over. We run him back to the country and then he comes back here. What is this? The burden and put it on your birthright citizens is criminal. And it's planned. I will submit to you. It's not an accident. It's not because we just suddenly got weak and don't know what to do. I'm going to stop this in a minute. It's our politicians up there that are for this. I'm not against any race, any people. I judge people by their behavior. I judge them by whether they're believers or unbelievers. How they can, I do it around here, based on behavior. I try to be careful, but if someone's acting like an idiot, then I draw idiot around them. And that will continue until they quit acting like an idiot. I'll pray for the idiot. I will. But if they want to act stupid, they can act stupid. You know? So our citizenship, all of us, as believers in Jesus Christ, resides in heaven. And of course, it's a superior citizenship because it involves eternity. And so, believers on earth have a permanent and eternal citizenship while they live out their lives on earth under a temporal citizenship. And isn't it appropriate that they would say that he would present it this way to the Philippians, who in their city were so proud of their status as a city related to Rome because of history and things that happened. They were a privileged city. They had certain benefits. I don't know all the details. I just know that the city of Philippi was also a place where a lot of ex-military retired. It was a place that, where are you from? Push your chest out. I live in Philippi. Now, it had a status because of what happened when the Roman Empire there was the battle for the Republic and the battle between these Romans, and Philippi apparently lined up with the right side. And took some risks. Because the other side won, they'd have been in trouble. So Rome didn't forget that. They reward people that are loyal to them. The verb is means to exist or be at one's disposal, as in possessions, property, means, resources, and so forth. And also occurs in Philippians 2:6 in reference to the pre-incarnate deity of the Son of God. What was Jesus before he became humanity? Well, we had it back in 2:6, where it's translated, existed. Although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. What a challenging doctrine, the doctrine of the hypostatic union. In other words, the second person agreed to establish a permanent relationship with a mortal, a person. Father didn't do it. Holy Spirit didn't do it. The second person did it. 7, 8. In order to enjoy said citizenship to its fullest, an event must take place to bring church-age believers to the very place where their citizenship resides. We all need to go there, don't you think? So I think we all need to make our plans to go there. But we don't have to do anything. That's the cool part about it. We don't have to see a travel agent. We don't even have to offer up a special prayer. It's going to happen. We pray for it. At least I do. I sigh Maranatha all the time. And it could be for any number of reasons. Be liberated from my STA. Be liberated from old age, aches and pains. Liberated from idiots around me. And I already said myself, didn't I? Get free of that monkey on my back called my STA. That'd be nice. Not have a carry or worry. Be on the victory side experientially. I'm already positionally in it. But the experiential part's good, you know. and because I'm greedy, I want the full thing. I want not just my soul to go to heaven, but I want my body to go to heaven too. And I want to get the rewards that God has for me. Now, if I manage to not get stupid, our word for the day, if I manage not to go turn stupid and go into reversionism, then I can still be on track for this. Unworthy as I am, I'm going to do this. And so can you. Don't anybody tell you can't. Don't let your STA say, oh, you're a schmuck. You can't make it. Now you may have to make, we all have to make corrections in our, you know, correcting our course, getting things better in line. And sometimes God helps us with that. Bam! Oh, okay, I grew through that. We always like to point our finger, oh, that's DD. Yeah, it's DD. DD is a good thing. Not what got you there, but the fact that he cares enough about you to hammer you. That's a good thing. What father does let his son run amok? Be disrespectful. Do bad things. What father lets his kid do that? Lots of them, you say. Yeah. They do. They don't. I mean, and again, when I talk about divine discipline, don't run out here and grab your little kid and think you're going to jump on him immediately. I got to protect my kids too a little bit. But I can only do it with the words. When you discipline, get in fellowship. Because you're so damn mad that little jerk did this. And you're just, well, you can discipline in fellowship. And then after it's over, whatever it is, even if it's a spanking or something like that, hey, we go on our way, I love you and all the rest, and here we are. But if you do it again, I'll do that again. I got to. Before God, I've got to. I don't want you going into this world without this going for you. And I know a lot of people did. They didn't have a father figure. They didn't have someone. There's a lot of homes where this doesn't exist. Or he's weak, or he doesn't care, or parents don't care. And they let them, I see them out in public saying bad stuff to their parents. It's sad. You get by with that? Oh, you'll get in trouble if you discipline your kids. Do what God tells you to do. My kids used to freak out because we'd be in a store and some kid was just with his mother and just acting a maniac. Wanting this, doing this, they'd look like, I'd be dead. I'd be dead. I'd be dead. See? It's like they're waiting. They're waiting for her to just, you know, do a number on him. Now you can drag him out to the car. You don't have to do it in front of all these people. It'll just vibrate like hell. You know? Because they don't know any better. There was a time when we understood this. That's gone too. That's all gone. Everything's gone by the wayside. If you're a survivor in this, it's going to be phenomenal. And God knows what we're up against. Believe me. So, does it not make sense to enjoy this citizenship to its fullest? An event has to take place. To bring the royal family, starting with the first generation, like the Philippians, all the way to the last generation, like the Maranathans. Bringing us all the way through and all of us together to the very place where their citizenship resides. It would be something to say, I'm a citizen there, but I've never been there. Well, hence the phrase, from which place also we eagerly wait for a Savior. Now that's a way to gauge yourself as a believer. I'm looking forward to the rapture. And I'm not faking it. I'm not telling people this just because it's the way I'm expected to do. But I'm keen on this. And you don't have to be. And again, you don't have to be old and you don't have to have gone through all this or some horrible event. You just have to be an adjusted believer and everything's fine in your life. I say everything. You know what I mean. Things are okay. Everything, you know, your health is good. You got a good marriage. You got a good job. But you know tomorrow that any number one of these things can fall all apart. The only guarantee you have is you keep on track spiritually. There are people in this city, they had these fat jobs, nice salaries. They're laid off. They were building a $2 million home. Now they have to stop because they were CEOs and they got canned, both the husband and the wife. Well, we could help them out here at Maranatha Church. Come here. We'll give you a new purpose for living. Your purpose for living was to be a CEO and make, you know, six figures every year and combine your income and build a $2 million house or whatever in hell it is. And now you can't even complete it. Because that's what you're after. And that's the risk you run when you're after that sort of thing. It just goes to show how easily that can go. How easily someone can be on top, have the finest car, have the finest home, and boom! They're shopping on a real budget now. Things just changed. Unless they made some provision for themselves and put stuff back for this so-called rainy day. But you know, we don't have to worry. We do not have to worry. I teach you. You need something, you ask your Father in heaven for it. Please. And if it isn't forthcoming real quick, you just keep pounding on that door. Knock, knock, knock. Anytime you think about it, you shoot up another prayer. Okay, he's testing you. It's a good thing. So you and I will learn to trust God and not our own ideas and get our eyes on all this out there. Well, what are we going to do if? Please don't come to me with that. You act like you never heard a bit of doctrine. I'll tell you what we're going to do if that happens. We're going to trust in the Lord. And then we're going to keep right on trusting in the Lord. For the little things and the big things. And we're going to have peace. Or we're going to worry and fall apart and carry on like dummies. No, we trust in the Lord. See, that's the iron you get in your soul. Okay, I know you have weak moments. but see, that's you're not in your right mind, and you need to snap out of it. You know, out. Off with the old, on with the new. I'm wearing the garments of the STA. They're clothing my soul. I'm under fear. I'm under this. I'm under all the rest of it. To heck with that. I'm going to get back in fellowship. And I'm going to face whatever dragons, whatever issues are in front of me. God has always taken care of me, so he may put me through something unusual. Who am I? Jesus Christ went through what he went through. You can't even imagine what he went through. And he's perfect. He didn't do any harm to anybody, anytime, any place. He just benefited people by the thousands. Physically and spiritually was there. And all this, he was everything you'd ever hope for. And when the going got tough, they turned their back on him. And then when he was on top, everybody, oh yeah, he's popular. Wow, wow, wow. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Who comes in the name of the Lord? And all these people out there, you know, on the street. And it was good that they did this. Even the little children, you know, who weren't yet contaminated. You know, a child. Make the kids shut up. He said, all right, I'm making the kids shut up. They're heralding the Messiah. And then turn right around and all that is against him. He didn't let that affect him because he saw the final goal. He had his eye on what we'd say is the prize. For him, resurrection, exaltation, and put above every name that is ever named and to judge everybody when the time comes. To administer this whole thing, and he can do this because he's deity. He happens to do it in the, and I don't know how that works out, how the humanity is involved. I understand the first advent. He taps into his deity and someone's leprosy's gone. Demons out of him, whatever. Okay, we'll pick this up. It's supposed to snow Tuesday, so my weather, you know how that goes. They tell us ahead of time and we wait and see. But anyway, you're all supposed to be able to be text or called, for those of you who wanted the exception. And we'll keep tabs on it. Thank you, Father, for the grace that brings us together this day. May these words bear fruit and encouragement as we wait for the return of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.